So this morning we're going to be talking about loving and honoring God with our minds. Let us pray real quickly before we get into what we're going to talk about. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for this space. God, we thank you, God, for this opportunity. We ask you, God, that you be with us this morning. God, that the words and the messages and the thoughts and ideas that's going to come forth, God, that you just be in it. You be all up and in it, God. And we thank you, God, for each individual that's sitting with us this morning, whether they are in their home, in their car, wherever they may be. God, we thank you, God, for meeting us here. We thank you, God, for everything that you're going to manifest within this time frame that we're here. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, we're going to be talking about loving and honoring God with our minds. We're just going to jump right into it. Our scripture that we're going to come from is Matthew 22 and 37. And it reads, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Now, this scripture does talk about your heart and your soul, but today we're solely focusing on the mind. And when we think about our minds and our thoughts, I kind of think about it in like a twofold, right? Like our minds and our thoughts can produce such wonderful and great goals, aspirations, dreams. Like we can accomplish so much from our thoughts. However, at the same time, our thoughts and our mind can suppress us suppressing us with fears, anxiety, depression. So there's like two parts of the mind. And I just think like currently right now where we're at in the world, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. A lot of us has been quarantined. A lot of us has been sitting at home for months. We've been in isolation. A lot of us have had to sit with our thoughts. That could have been positive thoughts and both negative thoughts, right? A lot of us, even though we're sitting with family, we're still not in community. We're attending church online, right? We're missing the communion that we have with our brothers and sisters. Our human makeup wasn't meant to sit in isolation. But in this season of isolation and in this season of, you know, an election, political chaos, call it what it is, there's a lot of fears and there's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of things that are sitting in our minds that we are, that's not from God. That's not from the will that God wants for our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, our thoughts and our minds. There's a gentleman named Dr. Daniel Siegel. He developed what's called the hand model of the brain, if you will. It kind of looks like this. It's just if you ball your fist up and put your thumb in the middle, it kind of replicates our brain, right? So this is your brain stem, and this is the base of your skull, your frontal lobe. And I have not studied the brain to where I could break down every piece. But there's a specific piece in your brain that we're going to talk about this morning, and it's kind of tucked away in the middle of your brain, and that's called the amygdala. And the amygdala is shown to perform the primary role is processing your memory, decision-making, your emotions. So this is where your fear, your excitement, your happiness, your aggression, depression, that's where that's at in the amygdala. So that's what we're going to talk about as well. So you may say, okay, Keita, so we're talking about the amygdala. You've told us like the type of fears that we're sitting in, like, okay. How can I honor God though, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 reads, "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We're gonna focus on that sound mind. That's the King James Version. The English Standard Version translate sound mind to self-control. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Another version, the New American Standard Version, translates sound mind to discipline. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. Let's take a look at what was actually happening at this time in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, and we know at this time that Paul was facing persecution. The ruler, the Roman emperor at the time, was persecuting, imprisoning, and executing believers. Paul, even in the state that he was in, was sending an encouraging letter to Timothy. I read in one place that Timothy had a very timid personality. He had normal courage, but an enormous responsibility was headed his way. And I kind of thought, I kind of put my place in Timothy's shoes, right? Like, just to share a personal aspect of my life, I'm getting ready to graduate college. I considered myself to be an introvert. This isn't a role that you normally see Keita in. I'm normally in the background. I'm not in the forefront. Kind of shy, kind of quiet. But this responsibility that God has given me, there's a responsibility that God has given you, but you've allowed fear to sit in your amygdala. You've allowed that amygdala, the fear and the anxiety to overtake you. Paul was reminding Timothy not to let that fear, that wasn't God's will for our lives. Like, God has not given you the spirit of fear. But this is power. This should be love. This should be a sound mind. That's what God wants us to operate in this part of our brain. And just the same as it was in the day of Paul and Timothy, where the rulers were, you know, pumping fear into people, we find that today. Like I said, Timothy had a great responsibility. This responsibilities that we have from day to day, just as mothers, husbands, wives, students, teachers, brother, sister, cousin, friend. It's an enormous responsibility. And it's so easy to let fear overtake our minds that we're not able to walk into what God wants us to have. We're not able to walk in the will of God because we're letting fear. And I will say that fear is one of the enemies, like, he uses that as a way to keep us from progressing, to keep us from being victorious in the way that God wants us to live. God wants us to have a balanced mental capacity. He wants us to have a stable and healthy, focused mind. And the enemy he comes in and he devises a plan that causes us to have irrational thoughts. At times he makes us feel like we're losing our mind. And in my notes, I have that underlying losing our minds, because I'm a witness to that. There was a time in my life where I felt like I was completely losing my mind. And now that, you know, I've been freed of that, I've walked in liberty, I can look back and be like, man, the enemy really, like, to be honest with you, he almost had me. So again, you may say, well, Keita, okay, like, you're telling me all this information about, you know, but how can I actually put this into action? How can I apply this to my daily living? We're going to talk about two ways that you can do that. How we can honor and love God and be in the will of God with our thoughts and our mind. One is renewing our thoughts, rethinking, right? Like, rearranging some things from what we're used to. And the second is thinking on those things. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." There goes that will of God again. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to change the way that you think that will honor him. There's a study that shows that for every unhealthy thought, that you should replace that with 3 healthy thoughts. So that's a tip right there. Every time a negative thought or irrational thought or something that comes to mind that is just, I don't want this here, replace it with 3 healthy thoughts. And for me personally, I kind of think about a thought that I have very often around this time of year is the rain, the coldness, the darkness. the Seattle rain, right? Like, oh my God, like this weather's so depressing. I had a friend who had to remind me, she's like, Kita, I actually love the rain. I actually love this Seattle weather. For me, it's refreshing. For me, it's cleansing. For me, it's like it expresses growth. Like you need rain, you need water to grow. And I was like, I personally had never thought or considered to think about the rain that way. I had to start renewing the way that I process and got into that, oh God, this rain is going to be depressing. I was already setting my mindset and my mind frame for depressive thoughts. For me to wake up not wanting to accomplish the things that God had for me, because I had already spoke depression into my life. I had already spoke gloominess into my life. So I had to replace that one thought of waking up in this dreary, wet, rainy, sad, depressive state that I would normally wake up in the Seattle weather, and replace it with those three things that my friend helped me realize. And renewing our thoughts is not just how we think, but it actually becomes who we are. When I was able to replace the three with that one, I became more happier. I woke up with a spirit of like just wanting to start my day on a happier note, because that depressive thought was no longer there. I woke up with wanting to be refreshed, with wanting to be renewed. It's another day. I have another chance. So many people this year have not had another chance. I know another thing that I find myself doing often, and this is very transparent, is on Instagram, social media, comparing myself. Looking at other people's lives. Oh man, I wish I could travel. I wish I had that. Wish I had this. I had to stop and slow down and rethink, renew my mind to not dwell on the negative things that I wish I had and I wish I did this, but to renew my mind and say, God, I'm thankful for what I do have. I thank you that I even have my mind. I may not have the body and the money and the vacation, this and the vacation, but I have my mind. Like, let's just start there. You have a mind to even think and process. You can walk downtown, anywhere actually, and see some individuals who are not in their right state of mind. So let's just start there. Let's just start off by thanking God that we have a mind to be able to process and thank him for the things that we do have. The second thing I wanted to talk about is Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'll stop right there. Simply ask God. God, I no longer want an unstable thought process. God, I no longer want to be unstable in my emotions, because that's where it's all right here in that amygdala, your emotions. God, I no longer want that. Ask him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. It's a promise. It's right there in his word. I tell you sometimes, like I said, our minds just get to going, but if we just stop, slow down the saying and stop and smell the roses, stop and remember God's promises. It's right there. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Rethinking, renewing those thoughts. Something new that you probably never, like a different perspective that you've never thought about before. Think on those things. That first part, whatsoever things are true. Like I said, we're living right now in a time in anytime, really, if you're living, your life is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know who the next president is going to be. We don't know what tomorrow looks like. We don't know what the next hour looks like. There's so many different uncertainties that can sit in our minds. But if you focus on what is true is that we serve an amazing God who said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you feel like your mind is like you're losing it, like you're going crazy, like you can't get out of the state of depression, like you're just so unsure of what life is going to bring, think on what you know to be true. And that's God's word. Think on the promise that he's given you. Think on the will that he has for your life. And no doubt, like the Bible says, his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. God already knows that, like he made us, right? He made every part of this brain and, you know, brain stem and everything. He knows that. He knows that we're going to have those thoughts that come, those negative thoughts, those distorted thoughts, those unhealthy thoughts. He knows that. But he also knows that he's left his word for us to ask him to remove that. He's given us a whole book of promises to dwell on and sit on. I was thinking back to my childhood of how my mom used to walk through the house. You know, I was a little girl. I could remember she would be washing dishes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And just talking to herself at the time, I thought. But now as an adult, I realized she was constantly renewing her mind, constantly thanking God, trying to keep her mind stayed on God. That's what my mom was doing. That's what I have to remember to do. That's what you have to remember to do, because that's what God honors. He made our mind and our amygdala and all the other parts of it to give him honor and glory. There's two other things I want to touch real quickly. It's more like a clinical term kind of that we use in therapy. It's called reframing and mindfulness. Reframing involves changing your perspective. So it goes a little further than just like rethinking, right? It's a whole perspective change on things. It gives you a more positive and beneficial way and meaning. Reframing can be used to help improve limiting beliefs. A lot of us puts limits on what we think that we're able to do, and even limits on God. We need to learn how to reframe and change our perspective and faith. So not just say it, but actually believe it and walk it out in faith. God, I don't have that house yet. God, I'm not going to sit here and dwell and let my mind become overwhelmed with things that I'm uncertain about, but I'm going to trust in faith and believe that you're going to turn that thing around. And that's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to keep my mind on. That's going to keep my mind in perfect peace because I know that I serve a God who loves me. I'm going to reframe and start focusing on the things that I know to be true, not the things that I'm worried about and don't know what it's going to look like. Going back to Timothy, you know, Timothy, like I said, they said that he had like normal courage. He had to step outside of his comfort zone. And in order for us to change our perspective and the way we think, we got to step outside of our comfort zone. We got to think about things differently. Ask God, ask him, God, change the way that I view myself. Change the way that I see others. God, change the way that I process my emotions. Be with me as I go into my daily walk. Just ask him. Mindfulness was the second thing. Mindfulness means intentionally paying attention to the present moment. And I know I'm just doing a little research about mindfulness. It may be a thing that a lot of Christians shy away from because, you know, kind of has like a Buddhist foundation in it, but it definitely can be applied to the way that we process and live our lives. Paying attention and being intentional about the present moment, observing our thoughts with constant renewal. There goes that constant renewal. We are human beings, like I said, and God knows that those thoughts are going to come, but we got to learn how to let them go. A lot of times we hoard the negative and we let it sit and fester in our minds until we feel like we don't have any control over our emotions and any control over our hearts, we have to learn how to be present in the moment. And in the moment, if I'm thinking, hey man, this is just gonna be an amazing day. God, you're gonna see me through this situation. I'm gonna pass this test. In the moment, God honors that. He rejoices in that. And that's how we honor and love God with our mind. I often think about, you know, it's kind of called like a mental fog, right? How, you know, I'll be driving to work and pull up and be like, I don't even remember like getting off 405. Like, I don't even remember anything because our minds are just so complex and filled with thoughts, ideas, pictures, words, our children, our work, so many things. Yet we fail to make room in our minds for God to lead us, to guide us. I often think about, like somebody running on a treadmill or a race, or somebody like, I don't know, just on a treadmill going at high speeds. They're physically wearing themselves out because they haven't stopped to allow their mind to press the button, to slow it down. And that's what we literally have to do. When our mind is racing, when we feel like we're that person on that treadmill, just going, and never going to get off, we're wearing ourselves out, we're going to collapse. We literally have to stop in the moment and be mindful about reframing, about renewing. That way God can give us peace of mind. That way He can honor that we're acknowledging Him, acknowledging that He's the creator of this, of this complex thing that we carry around on a daily basis. Life is so short. It's but a vapor, right? We've seen so many people. I know personally, I've known a lot of families and loved ones who have lost individuals just this year. We literally have to stop and smell the roses. I know a lot of people said if 2020 has taught them anything, it's just to slow down. The whole world was put on pause pretty much for us just to slow down and take the time to be mindful, for us to reframe and renew our minds, to live in peace the way that God wants us to do it. That can also be done by taking preventative steps. Watch who you expose yourself to. A lot of us feel like because we are in relationships with friends and families and boyfriends and girlfriends, that we constantly have to be around these individuals. Learn how to cut off some of those relationships that are unhealthy. Some of those are detrimental influences that allow our minds just to constantly sit in torture because we're not allowing ourselves to be in healthy environments. Find new people to hang around. I know it's a little difficult with COVID and social distancing, but find new spaces. Find a new book. Find a new music. Find new things. Step outside of what your comfort zone. Take a break. Mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever that thing is that is draining you, whatever that thing is that is keeping you from having peace, take a break. I've learned in this season that rest is, we talk a lot about self-care. Rest is my self-care. And it's okay to rest. I know a lot of times we look at rest as, oh, it's being lazy, or, oh, we have to constantly be productive. Let your mind rest. If that is literally laying down with ocean waves playing or whatever it is that you need, opening the window, getting some fresh air, do that. And I know it is hard to let go of those negative thoughts. It's hard to let go of negative events that's happened. Like, I am definitely not saying that this is something that actually it can happen just like that, because that's the God that we serve. But don't feel bad if it takes you a little bit longer to learn how to retrain your brain, to reframe thoughts, to renew thoughts, to be mindful and to be present in the moment. it's okay. It's a process. I spoke last week about forgive us our debts, and I talked about how forgiveness is a process, and in learning this new way of rethinking and taking that one thought and replacing it with three, it may take you a while, just like with exercise or any other, you know, physical thing that you're trying to train your body to do, your mind, you got to train it the same way. Just be mindful of that. So as Paul encouraged Timothy to not let fear drive him, I encourage you to not let fear drive you. Don't let the enemy, there was a book that was written a few years ago called Battlefield of the Mind. And there's a saying that says like the mind is idle mind is the enemy's like battlefield, something like that. So I challenge you to constantly renew your mind. God honors that. I challenge you to be bold in the steps that you take in renewing your mind. Step out of your comfort zone. The responsibilities and the gifts that God has given you, it may be uncomfortable to start like, I'm sitting in that right now. Like I said, my place has always been behind the scene. So just sitting in front of you is my step of faith to say, God, use me in a new way. Take out that fear that has caused me to always want to be in the background, and not that I want to be in the front to be boastful or to for Keita to get any glory or anything out of that, but it's for God to get the glory. I encourage you and I challenge you, as Paul did Timothy, to not let fear drive you, but to begin to honor and love God through your thoughts and your minds. That's what God wants. He wants us to step out of our comfort zone and be bold in renewing our thoughts, trying something different, thinking a new way. I challenge you. Let us pray.